WKBOO Portland, the time is 7 o'clock, and next is Combined Culture Radio. Stay tuned.
And I'm going to let this beat ride out, but who we got here today?
We got the return.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
The prodigal son.
It's been a cool minute. Happy to be back here. Combined Culture Radio. It's Anthony.
Yes, sir.
It's your co-host Jalen. I'm here in the flesh, in sweat, in skin.
That was a little bit too much.
All right, yeah, kind
of repping Oakland today.
Gross to visualize.
And once again, Victor is here late, and once again he shows up.
I was on time, so I don't know what you're talking about. Don't try to expose me on live radio. Man. So everybody is.
He's just saying because he got Victor. A fresh cut, he can talk however he wants.
This is a week old. It's not too fresh.
It's Kobe. Today. I don't know who Victor is.
I don't know who Victor is either. There's one more guest.
He's dead to me.
Our host.
Hi, this is Kayla.
Who just found a Airbnb spot in the Bahamas.
Hey.
I did. Ooh.
For $200 a night. Is it a $200 a night?
That's a lake.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Compared to those other prices. That
I know, right? And like Superhost, like good reviews. I'm into it.
Hey, there you go.
So gotta book it.
Now probably.
When are you guys going down there?
Bruh, September 7th to the 15th.
Okay. Bye.
She said bye.
That's such a long trip.
Yay.
What is that, 8 days? That's a long trip, bro.
Are you mad that you're going to be in the Bahamas for 8 days?
Nah, I'm not mad at all, bro.
You sounded like kind of butt. That's a long trip.
You know, if you want someone to take your spot, you know, I'll gladly slide on that flight, man.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
I don't know if I can have fun that
I'm
long.
Just saying September's going to be dummy lit, bro. We got nominated or we got an opportunity to get our film Through Your Eyes screened at the Long Beach Indie International Film Festival.
Hey.
Shout out.
You know what I'm saying?
Clap it up.
In Long Beach Indie International Film Festival.
Congratulations.
Yeah. First one, bro. First one. So
I knew
hopefully
you wasn't out here just doing nothing.
Yeah, man. So hopefully we take home some awards. That's August 29th through September 2nd.
Trophies.
And then 5 days later, that's in Long Beach, so you know we're going to be chilling out there. Then all of a sudden, September 7th, take to the Bahamas, come back the 15th. Then on September 27th, we head to San Diego, back down to SoCal for the Beyonce and Jay-Z concert.
Mm.
Yay.
I'm going to San Diego for that. That's cool.
Yeah, dummy lit, man. So, bruh, what we're going to talk about today is bigger picture stuff as far as Victor. He raised a popular question on social media this week that says, does Portland have culture? And we'll get there into there. But let's talk about LeBron James, man, and what he's done. Let's kind of go around the table.
We never talked about that.
And to those, just happened 2 days ago. That's why we didn't talk about it.
No, anything that he's done. I'm saying, what happened? I don't even know what happened 2 days ago. You know me.
What?
I don't know what happened to 2 days ago.
Oh, bro. Well, let me inform the audience.
Oh, he built it. He made a school. Or
let me inform the audience here because Jalen sometimes.
No, I saw that. I get CNN updates. They let me know things like that.
So pretty much, LeBron James, he opened a school. Anthony, if you could pull it up real quick, what will that school have? It will have, what was it, free bikes?
Is that in Cleveland?
A lot of free stuff. It's called the I Promise School, which just opened up on Monday. It's going to serve 240 students kind of in the neighborhood that LeBron grew up in Akron, Ohio. And essentially, it's a public school, right? So it's not meant for kids who are doing well. It's meant for at-risk kids who come from tough backgrounds and need some help. You know, to get through the schooling system and maybe get on to college.
Absolutely.
So they're going to have longer school days. They're going to have everything's going to be free when you get to campus. So in terms of obviously the classes, but like you said, transportation and food, and, you know, a lot of the things that people maybe take for granted are going to be out there at the I Promise School. So
it's a public school?
Public school.
That he opened. How do you...
So he partnered with their public school system there.
Oh, that's cool.
And was able to get that connected.
I'm just saying, because usually, like, you can't have control over things if it's like through the public.
I was talking to my homie about this. Like, you can open up a private school, like, whatever. Like, you can open that up tomorrow, but like a public school,
you got
like,
it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like that, you don't just sleep one night, wake up the next morning, a public school gets built. You know what I'm saying?
I like almost don't like that it's public, just because like the weird stuff that's been happening with public schools lately. He could have made it private and made it free for kids. I mean, I don't know if he could have, but like, just saying, bro. Like how they control curriculum and stuff like that. I'm not saying I'm completely against it. I'm just saying like there's room for like that to go south. You know, like a lot of public schools have been made out of really good intentions, and like there's some in Portland that are just trash now that were once good. That's all I'm saying.
But then at the same time, we don't know how Akron's public school system is. So it's like they could, their school system could be perfectly fine, which is why he felt comfortable enough to create it as a public school rather than a private school.
True.
It's not just going to be like where any willy-nilly, like anybody can say, oh yeah, I'm just going to LeBron James school next year. It's like,
well, you have to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure that you got to go through a couple of steps and process.
I'm going to go to LeBron James school.
Yeah, like I'm not,
I just want to see LeBron James roll through. Yeah, like, I think it's more than that.
It's not like that, bro. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm not going to lie. Like I've, from a sports standpoint, you could respect LeBron James, you know, for what he's done, but I don't, as a Warrior fan, I don't respect his game. He's cool and all, you know, he's a solid player, but
what does
it's just
that
like,
mean as a Warriors fan, I don't respect
because
his game.
Bro, I've just seen him do some like petty stuff that's just uncalled for and unsportsmanlike.
He hasn't done anything.
At the end of the day, he shakes up everyone, and like, and it's like there's no pettiness. Like at the end of the day.
You gotta be kidding me, bro.
It's
just because
as a Warriors fan, you should be able to put all of that aside.
I gotta go with
you're a Warrior fan.
I gotta go with Vic on that one.
You
like,
guys won three out of the four times.
But I'm
you guys
just trying
played.
To say,
What's
bro.
The point?
But he's all right. So look, he's not going down. Yeah. In my opinion, he's not going down as one of the greatest because. What? I mean, he is. He is, but he's not. What? He's not better than Jordan or Kobe.
Yes,
and
he is.
We're
not about to go into
you
this
wanna,
discussion.
Oh, with
we're
Jordan
talking about
or Kobe,
a school. Let's stay focused on
would
a
Jordan.
School.
Hold on. Let me just answer this question. Would Jordan or Kobe quit on Game 4 like he did?
Hold on. Have you seen the teams that LeBron has played with and had to carry on his back?
Bro, that
are you serious?
Kobe
and Jordan
Kobe,
had
Kobe.
And,
oh
listen,
my!
Kobe and
Kobe
had way
not,
more.
Kobe
support.
Had Paul Gasol.
Why is this happening?
And Lamar Odom and bruh, like what?
He had Kevin Love.
Listen,
Kevin
no,
Love is
that's
equivalent
it.
To Paul Gasol.
Kevin Love, who the Cavs didn't even know how to properly utilize. Tyron, we're not about to get into this. Anyway. Does Jordan care about kids like LeBron does?
Bro, I'm saying on the court, bro. I'm not talking about off the court. I'm saying on the court. I'm not talking about off the court, bro. It's whatever. But anyway, bravo for LeBron doing it for the kids, which is clean. That's dope. Cool.
I think a lot of people like to put their name in front of stuff, and you could tell LeBron is actually 100% invested.
Right.
And the fact that like he has no obligation to do what he's doing, and the fact that I mean he's in Akron right now, like I read this morning he's practicing at St. Vincent St. Mary's High School where he played high school ball. Yep. So you know, like he's so invested in the place where he came from, and even though he recently we all know he just left to go to the Lakers, like the fact that he's still
got some swaggy new jerseys.
Definitely.
Bro, they
definitely.
Look exactly the same to me.
No,
you're sorry.
No,
they
look like the 90s. You got to look at the 90s one. They look just like the 90s jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I didn't mean like the ones from last year, but like they didn't look new to me is what I'm saying. Like
nah, they do. The side panel, too.
It's like the most minute detail. But
you know we can't talk to Jalen about it.
I know. Because you don't understand. The Lakers have consistently had pretty much the exact same jersey year after year. So this is like,
okay,
even
like,
though it's like a minor still, change with like still, with the block like, block numbering and then the side panel color change, it's kind of a big deal. Because
I don't
understand the Lakers
why
don't change their jersey. They're just one of those organized, like the Celtics.
Yeah.
Celtics have literally
yeah,
had green and white jerseys
true.
For the past
forever
30 years, you know? So like that's, I love them.
I love them
too, they're pretty
bro.
Dope.
I don't even change them on St. Patrick's Day.
they don't. They just add gold instead of white.
Nah, they already I got that four-leaf clover on the mid-court, don't they?
Right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they don't. Yeah, they don't need.
Nah, bro. Yeah, it's. I love the new jerseys, bro. Yeah, I love the new jerseys. It's gonna look. They gonna like.
Because it just makes sense with Magic Johnson at the helm, going back to the Showtime style jersey.
It's
like,
about to be lit. Yeah. It's about to be lit. Now, one thing I did want to ask y'all. And Michaela made a good point of not wanting to watch it this past week was...
The Trayvon Martin thing. I didn't want to watch it either.
Why? Let me hear it. Because okay, so, it's like, are they going to continue to tell the same story? Are they doing reenactments?
Let me ask y'all a question. What's this? Why don't I be here? I'm glad I come to this radio station because I don't be knowing nothing about what's going on. Jeez. What is this? What network? Pretty much. No, dead serious.
Futurama was the last time when I was over there.
Yep, Futurama was on.
Wow, that's not good. Rick and Morty. Good, bro.
Yep.
I like to just melt my brain when I get home.
That's not good, though.
The world, there could be a big old earthquake here in Portland. There's an earthquake here?
I don't know. I was in my basement. I was asleep. I don't know. Like, what?
There was an alien invasion?
But no, I mean, so pretty much like LeBron James, executive produced, and I think his team like brought it to life.
Was it Jay-Z? It was Jay-Z.
LeBron's on his mind. LeBron's on the mind.
LeBron was involved.
He was executive producing something else that's about to come out.
But basically, like Jay-Z did this whole Trayvon Martin story, and it got all the rappers, everybody, celebrities were talking about it. They were promoting it.
Yeah.
And literally, I didn't take the time to watch it, but it's like, bruh. How many times are we gonna see the Trayvon Martin story, and why didn't you watch it? Because I know why Michaela didn't watch it, but why didn't you take the time to watch it?
Because revisiting that is too infuriating, and I just kind of don't want to be reminded of what happened and how much it's like affected me as a black man in America. So it was, to me, like, I'm glad that it's being brought back and like pushed to the forefront by media and then with like Jay-Z and everything. But I'm not really interested in hearing more about it. You know, I feel
Is there any far we can go, bro? I feel like we've heard all the...
Well, I feel like with this point,
so what's the point? The point is to get more insight on, like, what happened?
Yeah, I think it's just more insight that wasn't discussed...
On, like, mainstream media.
Right, yeah. Okay. Because he had, like, private investigators that were looking more into it, into the case. Because it even got to the point where Zimmerman, he stalked one of those investigators and ended up getting charged for that, but whatever. He's a weirdo. I think that's mainly what it was, just the further insight of the whole story. And I think it was more from his family's...
Like their perspective.
Yeah.
And how long was it?
It'll definitely be something I'll show my kids.
I think it's a mini series.
A mini series. Yeah. Oh, so it's not just like one little...
No.
Oh, is this somebody calling? Oh, yeah. Yep. What's going on?
Hey.
What's going on, Al?
Hey, why aren't you talking about Clyde the Glide?
Sorry, what was that?
Clyde Drexler.
Clyde. Oh,
showtime. I got so confused.
Hey, you're talking about LeBron, Clyde the Glide. Man, he was just one tiny bit less than Jordan.
So you're considering him one of the greatest players of all time?
Well, I'm just saying Clyde was like so good, nobody's talking about him. Nobody remembers him.
That's true.
That is true. Actually.
And he played for the Blazers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he played for the Blazers. Yeah, and he won some championships
then
with the Rockets.
To Houston, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that's where he got his ring.
Yep.
Dang, I forgot. About
Clyde was actually a great player.
That's all I really got to say. But give some props.
Definitely.
Hey, thanks for reminding us.
Shout out.
Yeah, especially for Blazers fans. He's a staple in Blazers history.
Thank you
for that, Al.
Appreciate
it,
man. Michaela.
Yes. Yeah.
Why didn't you want to watch the? Do you feel like it's necessary for Jay-Z to do this?
I mean, I didn't watch it, so I feel like I can't say if it was necessary for it to be done. But I'm just tired of watching things about like black people being killed. So I just like didn't want to be upset by that, and it just like gives me like flashbacks of like, you know, like my friend being killed. So I just don't watch that type of stuff. I just don't want to see it. Sure. I see it every day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but do we like, is it good for these stories to be told though? Like, is it okay for a person to get killed and then just not tell their story in a way?
I definitely think, I mean, judging by what Victor said, it sounds like it's an important documentary. It's also feel like it's one that's just like too soon type of things. Like, that was how long ago? Five years ago, like, I don't know, I feel like documentaries like this usually get produced like 20 years after things happen, which, like, I mean, I'm glad they got private investigators now while like the information's still fresh and stuff, but I don't know, I feel like it's something that like you'll go back to maybe later on and show, like, educate your kids or something like that, or someone who doesn't know about like the youth.
What do you think about
it? I feel what you're saying though, it kind of cuts deep, you know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things, is like you're kind of interested to get, like Victor mentioned, more of that insight. But at the same time, like, it's kind of like,
you get mad,
bro. Yeah. Like, it's
it
not gonna
make no sense. Like,
it's not gonna make you happy after watching that, right? Yeah. Like, even when I watched Fruitvale Station when that came out, yeah, like, that was like a movie, right? But it was, you know, how Oscar Grant got killed. I mean, you know, we're from the Bay, mm-hmm, right? Like, we know that Fruitvale Station very well. Like,
yeah,
every time I go back on BART, like, I'm like, damn, like, that's where it happened.
Yeah,
like,
bro,
right there.
I've been doing the same,
you know
thing,
what I'm saying?
Bro.
And it's just one of them things. So, you know, I'm sure the people, you know, Jay-Z and those guys have good intentions while they're doing it. So there's no knocks from that end. But just from like a psyche perspective, like, man, like,
I don't know. Yeah, it's like traumatizing.
Yeah, just like getting up. Seriously. Yeah, it's tough.
And I feel, did you ever watch any of the Khalif Browder story, the other show that Jay-Z had? Yeah, so they put it on Netflix.
Did it just go on Netflix?
No, it's been on there, but the show had released, it was either beginning of this year or the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And it was just a kid in New York that was put in jail pretty much for no reason, and was stuck in jail. And
he killed himself, right?
Yeah. And that was another show, that Jay-Z had executive producing. I didn't really know much.
I'm getting tired of this role, executive produce, because I feel like executive produce, like, you're just throwing your name on something.
I
mean, I feel like someone like him, he's not one of those like activists that puts himself in the forefront. He's more like in the background, mm-hmm, because he definitely wants, or has been vocal about these issues. So I feel like he has the rightful title of that. But it's like, going back to that show, I mean, I was only able to watch one episode. It was also another miniseries. So that's kind of like the same formula with the Trayvon Martin thing. And I think it's only like 4 or 5 episodes, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't watch it. I couldn't continue to watch it. I was really interested in the story because I had never heard of it before. But it was just like knowing where it was leading to, and seeing the damage that was done, not only to Khalif Browder himself, but his family, and knowing how wrongful the judicial system is, especially in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, it was too much. It was as simple as that. So the Khalif Browder, I mean, that was still kind of recent too, but I mean, some years have passed as well. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of hard to watch that. I really appreciate the insight, mm-hmm, because like, some people may not know too much about Trayvon Martin. Some people may not know too much about Khalif Browder. Mm-hmm. Oscar Grant, you know, you can list goes on and on. There could be a Sandra Bland one in a couple years, you know?
I just don't want to see it. Fox News get a hold of this.
Nah, they won't, because it's on Paramount Network, and Paramount is, I'm pretty sure, tied with
NBC. I'm just saying, I don't want it to be a topic that they talk about.
Oh, I mean,
they always be.
I don't know if because of who's behind it and the networks that's on. I feel like they don't want that smoke. It's, yeah, I mean, it's because what else can they say about it? You know, that it's a show that's being released, and
I don't know. They come up with some dumb stuff.
They do.
I think there's enough political news going on. It's probably not at the top of their mind anyway. So.
No, the only reason why I ask these questions is because, like, recently with the whole Nia Wilson thing happening last week, like, I've been thinking about...
That stuff's so crazy.
Yeah, if you read deeper into the story, it's wild. But if you read deeper into the story about her character and who she was, like, bruh, she was going places. She was saving lives. She saved her... Or she could... Her friend died in her arms. Her boyfriend had drowned the year before that. Whoa. She wanted to be a paramedic. She, like, purposely said to people, like, she wants to help save people's lives. Like, it's a crazy story. But the only reason why I bring up, like, all this stuff about Trayvon Martin and all that is because, like, me and my homies were, like, we've been thinking about trying to do a feature film, like, around her. Just kind of like how Oscar Grant was with Fruitvale Station. Because her story, bro, is just, it's once you read deeper into the articles and you hear about the person that she was, like, this is like a young 18-year-old girl who loved like fashion and beauty, and she was so positive, and she was a little rapper. Like, she was just like a positive girl, bro. Yeah.
And I do like that the media, a good amount of the media, was able to bring more positive light to who she was.
Reading who she was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, only negative thing I saw was like that the phone case that would look like a gun. You know, that was like the only thing. But I started seeing articles like pretty much what you was just talking about, like who she was and who she wanted to be. How big her dreams were. Like, I mean, I appreciated that.
What exactly was the deal with the dude who killed her?
Like, it was just a white supremacist.
Yeah, pretty much. I never like read into much about his case, but
he just
I saw him.
You know what's crazy?
Give a look. Was it? Should we say allegedly in that case? Or no.
But I listened to a podcast. I don't want to get too into this because it was really interesting. But it was called Why We Hate. I think that's what it was called. But it was really intense. The guy like interviewed like former white supremacists and like how they like adopted that mindset and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a show.
It's crazy. And like, yeah.
So what were some of the driving factors behind that?
It's usually like people will get recruited to those groups who like maybe are neglected by their peers or parents.
It's just like a gang.
It's like a gang. It's like they'll reel you in when you're young and vulnerable, and like that's your support system, and you don't want to do any wrong to them, so you accept the values that they put onto you. Now where that evil actually originates is, you know, you could dive into that, but
so would you say it's a system in which that's looking at like getting these people and like would you say like to go they go so far to know that they're being hateful, or is it one of those things where it's like we're just doing what's right for the community? Like, at what point do you think is being accepted, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, the crazy thing is, from just shows that I watch or, you know, interviews, whatever, there are many that don't even think what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the point I'm trying to make. Right. Nobody really thinks what happens is
think about this mindset, right? I'm not trying to like say like you would do this, but I'm saying like try to enter their mind. If you're a vulnerable young person with no friends, right? Someone shows up and is nice to you, right? And they tell you, oh, you should take pride in these things and this and that. So they start off with like that, and then you start like preaching other concepts like, oh, these people are less superior to you, like they're wrong for being here, they need to go back to whatever. You adopt those things because like these are the only people who have showed you love, right? You're not going to reject them if they show you love, and so you accept them along with their values and you invest in them. Now the particular person that they talked with who like became a former member who like quit, he was telling like the reason why he stopped was after he had a kid with like this lady he fell in love with. She helped change his life, and then like he was describing like after he saw his kid, he became overwhelmed with love again and like kind of like was able to block out the hate and like return to his original self. Because one important thing I took away from it was like hate is taught. You know, you can't be born innately hating somebody or some not it even has to a be specific person like by, a, yeah
by a group.
It's taught, so, and it can be untaught.
That's real interesting. The fact that
I firmly believe it could be untaught. So
I think it can too, and I wish I could remember what the show that I watched was, but it was a white supremacist. He had been to jail and everything, and whoever the host was, Kamasi Bell. I would have to look it up. But pretty much just through dialogue, you know, tried to figure out his reasoning of why he's always felt this way and everything, showed him how he can pretty much reverse that way of thinking, you know. And when it came down to it, it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have to think this way. I mean, it's not necessary for me to think this way, because
it's crazy.
That's not how everyone lives.
Like Jalen said, it's got to start somewhere. Like, you it don't does. Just right. like pop out, or like you don't just wake up one day like, yo, I'm gonna hate.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't work like that. I mean, like,
a lot of these like hate directed things. Like, I don't want to get too into this, but they came from like very early like pre-industrialization concepts that were like economically beneficial to a certain society.
I mean, not getting people to buy in.
Yeah. So you're like, if we could dehumanize this group, we can use them for free labor.
And yeah.
All of our homies back home will be okay with it. It's pretty much how it started. But another interesting point that came up in that podcast I want to mention was they went to Rwanda, and you know, the Hutus and the Tutsis. I don't remember how to pronounce it. But
wait, say it again.
The Hutus and the Tutsis.
We watched Rwanda.
I forgot the two groups are called. But they're talking about like this lady. She like they interviewed her, and her neighbor like murdered her husband and children, and she forgave him, and like they still are friends. And,
oh,
like,
wow!
I was like, what?
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's crazy. But yeah, very inspiring. Check it out.
So, bruh.
Real quick. His name was W. Kamau Bell.
Who's that?
He's a, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a comedian. Like,
he's been talking about this whole time.
He's a comedian, but then he also had this show where he just explored like different types of cultures and things like that. Actually had an episode in Portland.
I'll bet.
Yeah, about the gentrification in Portland.
Oh, well, you know what?
Portland and culture.
That is the perfect lead-in. But you know what? We're going to let this song go. Last Night or Late Night in Kauai by Childish Gambino and Jaden Smith. I was going to say Jaden Pickett Smith.
Close enough.
Oh,
listen to them vocals.
Oh man, you sound like a crying owl.
Dying.
Something.
Exactly. Something. So the show is called United Shades of America.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was a really good show. I didn't know that it was still going. Like it started in 2016, April 24, 2016, but actually the third season just began back in the end of April.
Exciting. But yeah, so we came to Portland and about culture and blah, blah, blah. Let's get on that segue again.
About gentrification.
Nah, we talked about gentrification last week. But
that's true, we did.
It's bound to come up if we're going to talk about culture in Portland.
But
it's not going to be as
from different. The three amigos who have lived in Portland their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does Portland have a culture?
I'll let you go first, Michaela.
I thought your question was on Instagram. Does Portland have a black culture? Did I read that wrong?
It was kind of like, it was a very broad question because I just wanted to see who voted. So I had like a yes or a no.
It was one of those story votes.
So it was, do you think Portland has culture?
Oh, I thought and it was black culture.
So that's what I looked at it as, but then since I didn't like specify, it was also from just like a broad perspective.
That's
like,
literally what I said before you came here.
Yeah.
So what did like I didn't what I didn't did people specify. Vote?
Mostly people voted no. Out of like I think like 40 votes, it was probably Oh, I think I think I still have the results.
What was the standard deviation on the
I haven't heard that. I really haven't heard that since like high school.
I was a science major, bro. I heard the that last year.
It's still fresh. That's that college man right there. That's really funny.
Did it reject the normal hypothesis?
So 29 people voted no, and 23 voted yes.
That's
so
pretty close.
Half and half.
That's pretty close.
When I have posted the results, because I didn't wait until the 24 hours. When I posted the results, it was more weight. Like, it was a bigger difference. So it started to catch up. But then I just wanted to see, like, demographic wise, like, who voted yes and who voted no, age group, ethnicity, you know, things like that. Because then it kind of makes more sense of, like, from their perspective, you know.
Because you really so just did a research, an IG research.
I did. I
broke it down with ethnicity.
I had time at work. Yeah, I had time at work, and I, like, my brain was just like I couldn't. It was just all over the place.
Wow, man, that's cool.
So
let's talk about it.
Right. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go first.
You should.
Yeah, I'm gonna tag myself in. Clap. I'm in. Okay. There's definitely, if you're going to talk about culture in a broad sense, like, there's culture here. Like, it's a culture. I mean, if you look up the definition of culture, it's like, it's here. Like, I don't think it's possible to just have no culture at all. Like, I don't even know. What would that even look like?
I don't know.
Just everyone doing their own thing.
They go to North Dakota.
I mean, they probably even got culture out there. That's what I'm saying. Like culture is like, I mean, there's no, like, super accepted definition, but, like, pretty much it's, like, a group or society of people that, like, participate in similar, like, customs and values and stuff like that. Like, there's things that are, like, branded Portland, you know? Like, there's certain things that, like, you think of when you say Portland. Like, Tevin said kombucha and naked bike rides and voodoo donuts. Like, there's stuff like
and
that.
Weed.
Like, and weed and marijuana. All the good stuff. But, you know, if you want to talk specifically about Black culture, it's an interesting topic. Because, I mean, I would say that I remember experiencing when I was younger, like, growing up in Northeast/North Portland, because, like, I'm around the border. But, like, when you used to have Good in the Hood, like, the whole neighborhood used to be there. Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, I got flashbacks of that when we did the dodgeball tournament.
When we had the dodgeball tournament for Brennan's team,
because it was like all these people that, like, we grew up with, all minorities, like, all together doing stuff for charity, playing dodgeball, having good fun. Like, that was what, like, summers used to be like. I remember as a kid,
yeah,
like, there'd be multiple events, not just Good in the Hood,
right?
And I don't know, I feel like we kind of lost that. I mean, I don't know what happened with all that. I mean, you could say gentrification was definitely part of it, like, a lot of people had to move out,
yeah,
you know. Generations grew up, moved on, no one really took it over. I don't really know what caused it, but there's not really much, I feel like, personally, that's holding the Black community together in terms of culture in Portland.
I agree. It's not a tight-knit community.
It's not.
It's kind of like
loosely knit. It's loosely knit.
Like, you're,
do you feel like y'all, like, anybody, a kid who grows up here, maybe who's Black, might be feel lost growing up here?
Yes, absolutely.
So, what are you gonna do for your nephew, bro?
What was the question again?
Like, do you feel like a kid growing up here in Portland,
like, right, current kids,
is gonna feel lost, especially as an African American?
I wouldn't say lost, because if you have never experienced the culture, then you wouldn't necessarily be, like,
there's nothing
lost
to compare it to.
There'd be nothing that you lost, you know?
And then
also the outside world, though.
If they go to the outside world, then they'll, you know, learn new things about,
they
you know, their
cultures.
They
wouldn't have to adapt.
They can adapt. They could go wherever they want.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying if you were to be immersed into Black culture.
Yeah, if you were a Black individual that grew up in Portland and had a lack of Black culture and went somewhere else and you wanted to be a part of the Black culture there, then yes, you would have to adapt. But that's your choice.
Did you feel lost at times in DC with certain things or no?
Virginia. No. Virginia. I feel Virginia. And that's another thing. kids can, like, say current kids, like, their family could teach those values to them, that teach that culture to them. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's people who lived in Portland and say they might not even be from Portland. They may have grown up in the South or in the East Coast and they moved to Portland. So mm-hmm. they're familiar with it and they can pass that along to the next generation. Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, my family, one side of the family is from, born and raised in Portland, and the other side, born and raised in Cali. But I mean, I feel like they were able to properly prepare me. So once I got to Virginia, it was like, this ain't nothing. I mean, there's more Black people, but like that, it wasn't an issue for me to adapt. It was just like, I feel like I was able to just blend right in and have no issue whatsoever.
I would say it's less of like you're asking Victor if he felt lost. It's not more so a feeling of being lost. It's more like, this is what I've been missing out on. Like, this is what we could have, you know?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, this is how it should be, you know? Right. It's more that exposure. It's not like, oh, how do I fit in? How do I hit the Dougie? It's not really that. It's more like, man, like, everyone's getting together, like, having events and stuff like that, having fun. Like, everyone knows the same songs. So, like, it's just more of, like, an embracing feeling, I feel like. I haven't been to the East Coast personally. Victor's talked to me about it, so these are kind of his words. But, I mean, I've been places where, like, you know, Black culture is more prominent and...
Well, at the rate we're all going, everybody in Portland's gonna look like you, bro.
I'm just saying. I think it's easy for like Jalen and Victor and I to like sit here and say like we don't have a problem like feeling comfortable, just because like, I mean, we all went to like private school and like we were around like a lot of white people, and like they were around Black people like in their neighborhoods and in their families. But like, I'm just trying to think of like a kid that maybe didn't like have the same type of,
I mean, I know I have friends who are Black who didn't grow up around Black people, and like, it's not like people, I feel like people make this huge deal about like when you realize your like Blackness to like adapt to a culture. Like, you don't have to do that, but like, if that's something you want to do, I guess. But like, I don't know, like, my friends personally, like, who grew up around mostly white people who are Black, like, they still, they don't talk like they're from the hood or anything like that. Or, like, they might still listen to, like, some alternative, like, rock music. Like, they're not ashamed of that. That's what they grew up around, and that's what they partake in. That's what they like. You know, your tastes develop from, like, what you grew up around. But, I mean, I don't really see a need to, like, just convert someone to Black culture if they didn't grow up in it.
No, I feel you.
No, I mean,
I was just making a joke by saying like, everybody's gonna look like you because there's so many African American males dating white, I mean, Caucasian women.
Is there really? I don't know.
That's how you and I are both here.
Yeah, I thought I was an anomaly. I'm kidding. I definitely feel
you. No, I mean, it's a rare occasion. Like, pretty soon, like, there's never gonna be. I probably since I've been in Portland over the last 2 years, I've probably seen maybe 5 out in public Black on Black relationships.
Seriously?
A handful. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm right with you though, to be honest.
5. I want to say 5.
Really? I don't.
People
don't even. Yeah. When people see me and Michaela walking around, I don't. Even people are shocked.
People think we're related.
I don't know. You live out in Beaverton, though.
Nah, bro, it's everywhere. He'd be everywhere. I'm everywhere.
That's true. He's all over Portland. I don't know. I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
I don't find anything wrong with it. Love is love, but
exactly. I feel like you're right.
It's simple as that. But I mean, it's just, that's just how it is in Portland. I mean,
there's no Black women here.
There's a lot of Black women here.
But maybe young brothers aren't interested into these Black women. But
which
is
a great segment to which is where that's you on top of this. Okay. You know, we got this synergy today. I like it. Which stems from how I started my whole culture questionnaire and research. I had a friend who posted on her IG story two Black women. It was a poll. And it's like, do you feel like you're overlooked by Black men in Portland? And
this is a black, you asked this question.
No. My friend is. She is, but who's a black woman. Mm-hmm. She posted on her IG story and asked two black women, do you feel like you're overlooked by mm-hmm. black men in Portland?
Mm-hmm. How does she know that only black women responded to that?
You can see the results.
Okay, got you.
You can see the results. I voted just because I wanted to see what the percentage was.
What'd you say?
I clicked yes. I feel like black women are overlooked because of pretty much what we just talked about. There's a lot of interracial relationships.
There's
in
a lot
Portland.
Of Jaylen's.
So it's like, the statistics it was probably like seven. Last time I checked, I believe it was 78% yes and 22% no. Insane.
And is this for like dark skin, light skin?
Black women in general. And I mean, herself who posted it, she's light skin complexion. So, I mean, it's everyone, you know. And I just personally agree. So that's kind of how I got to the whole culture thing, because I was like, you know, black culture itself, you know, who people who live here. And yeah, I wasn't surprised, but I was still just like, wow. Like, they
put in perspective,
you know.
Do you think that the reason is because there's a bigger population of Caucasian women here in Portland than there is in, or is it because black men
are just,
yeah, like that's a great question.
No, it is.
Should it be the black man's duty to like only wife up black women? Like, that's a weird responsibility. Like, how are you gonna cast that responsibility on someone? Like, you gonna raise someone?
I mean,
to listen to a bunch of black men talk about this.
I'll get to what I was gonna say, but I want Michaela to say what she has to say.
I mean, I have a lot of things to say.
Oh,
but
here we go. Let's
I don't have enough time, but I just think it's very interesting to me how black women and women of color historically are put down for these attributes that they have, but then white women who go and get surgery or use lip plumpers or whatever it is to enhance these features and enhance these attributes are now like being praised for them. Like, it's just like sick to me. So
true.
That's just how I feel, but everybody can date who they want, have a great day, and like go on with your life, but it's just like, I agree with that statement like 100%, and I wish I could have voted on that because like I didn't even see that on her.
So Michaela, when black women are saying they feel like they're what's the word, not underrepresented, but like not being noticed in that sense, is that more like what things? Is it like society? Is it black men? Is it racial or wealth inequality? Like, what kind of things are you pointing at? Like, these are the reasons why.
I think we're like literally like the one of the most like under like appreciated groups in the world. I mean, yeah. And yeah. I don't know why that is, but I just think it's interesting to like sit back and see like celebrities and even like girls that I know here, like, you know, just like getting enhancements to like enhance these parts of their bodies that like aren't genetically there.
Yeah.
I like how you put that.
I mean, it's just like whatever. I don't know. It kind of is just like frustrating to me because there's like a lot of stereotypes about black women being like aggressive mm-hmm. and like non-black women and non like Latina women like being submissive. And I'm not saying I agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Like on the radio. But it's like, I think that's a big thing that plays into it too, is like, I think a lot of black men already feel inferior in society, and so some people might justify dating a certain race or ethnicity to feel superior or like powerful in that relationship. So
that's crazy.
I mean, it's kind of like weird, but do you, boo?
I love black women.
So
I love me a black woman.
Oh my God.
Strong black woman.
That's not
really
true, though.
Uh-oh.
Wow. What are you talking about? I've been with a black woman for 5 years of my life.
It's the personal hour of this show.
A strong black woman.
That's an old school kind of black man laugh right there.
Ha ha! You sound about 35 just now, bro. Oh,
strong black voice.
I thought you was wearing some leather sandals for a second.
The deep waves, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Hold on.
Wait.
Let the song vibe out.
No, okay, we're about to say Victor.
So this great episode this issue today was like one thing that I noticed when I moved to VA, and I mean, just being around mostly black. Well, here's the thing. Norfolk is, it's one of, like, it does have a higher population of black people as far as cities in the U.S., mm-hmm. but it's still predominantly white. But it's just, it felt like 50-50, actually. But, I mean, as far as being there and knowing how much more appreciated black women were there, and then coming back to Portland and seeing how underappreciated they are here, like, it's, the difference is kind of mind-blowing. You know, I was I think it's more so just like the East Coast and the South, actually. I mean, it's not just Virginia. It's like almost the whole East Coast. Yeah. And then the South and wherever else, you know. And it frustrates me because, you know, it puts things into a whole different perspective. And I agree 100% on what Michaela just said. And it's like, if I didn't know about these things, if I wasn't exposed to these things, I would be kind of clueless. Like, I don't know if I would have had a proper opinion or been able to vote on that poll, because I just don't know, you know. I mean, that's why I make the songs I make. Like, Coconut Oil Shawty probably wouldn't have been made if I didn't go to Virginia, to be honest. Like, because it was just like a new.
I would have made it.
And you wouldn't have. It would have been. Psych.
Thought it was. Vic, he's trying to get a feature, you know. Right? That's what happened right there.
It was just like a whole. It was like a newfound appreciation. I mean, like, most of my family is filled with black women. So I've had those
black women.
I've had those those leaders in
say
my
it loud, child.
His brother and
say
his ad libs.
I've been raised mainly by black women. I've
raised by black women. You know,
two older sisters, my mom. And it's, I don't know, just like, just knowing that is it's really sad, actually, and I wish it could change. I mean, as far as like the what's being overlooked, I think it probably won't change as far as being in Portland, unless
it's only
gonna
get worse.
Yeah,
there's gonna be more Jalen's running around.
Well, Anthony's here too, man. Like,
he's the lighter of the lighter skin, so I'm getting the pass.
He gets the pass.
Lighter that's because you got a tan. Okay, we got to start wrapping up.
Yeah, I figured. Right. But I mean, it won't change. It won't change. And Portland is, it's a growing city. We have a lot of people moving from out of state here. There's all kinds of ethnicities that are moving here. I mean, it's not just like it's one ethnicity, but it's I don't know like where it would go.
What were you saying?
The festival.
Go ahead.
Okay, you guys, I just need to say this quick announcement. It's about the 8th annual Nadaka Community Festival. It's Saturday, August 18th from 12 to 3 p.m. at Nadaka Nature Park. And that's at 17615 Northeast Gleason. It's like right on Gleason by the Starbucks, and I think it's like an Albertsons in Gresham. There will be live music, Aztec dancers, scavenger hunt, live education, birds, games and crafts, community organizations, face painting, free hot dogs, and much more. So please come out. You can volunteer, or you can just come and bring your family. It's completely free.